The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale, ericsfamilybbq.com.
Eric's Family Barbecue has arrived and is simply the best barbecue in Arizona. Come satisfy your taste buds with meats that are smoked over mesquite wood and sides that are made with fresh ingredients and tons of love. They have the best, juiciest brisket, pulled pork, rib, sausage, turkey, or everyone's favorite, the Pitmaster Sampler that includes all the meat and four sides, mac and cheese, potato salad, coleslaw, corn, or beans. Yum! And for dessert, try some creamy banana pudding. Amazing! Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Make the trip. You won't be sorry. Dine in or take it to go. Go to Eric's Family BBQ.com for more info.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
And I don't like what you just said, Pete, but Pete Lee is here. I don't like that you researched this at all. That made me nervous. Pete Lee is at CB Live at Desert Ridge, and I'm thinking maybe I'm going to kick you out.
Yeah.
What did you research?
Well, I'm like, I went on YouTube, and I watched you guys. Yeah. I'm a big fan now. I'm a little starstruck, okay?
And you should be. We were on your TV earlier this morning.
Yeah, you were. I watched your clip with Bob Marley from a while ago, and you guys are all really funny. I don't know. I just wanted to see the vibe.
Well, that's pretty cool that you came down. Well, thanks. Yeah. I hope we didn't disappoint.
No, you're amazing. you're even more beautiful in person.
That's what I'm looking at. Look at this. Look at this. Look at Pete Lee's dashing photo for his.
I hate it.
That's exactly how your hair looks like right now. Like you're a cardboard cutout of yourself.
Right now, look at that picture. I look like I'm selling real estate on one of those bus benches. You know,
I would buy from this man.
It would.
I think I trust this guy.
Check
at least
your
with hair tips.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, that really is me. Like I'm from the Midwest, and like I'm like sweet and wholesome, but also I'm. I'm newly single.
Oh, what happened?
So just my personality, probably.
Ruined it?
I mean, look at me. Like I have the like. If you're a woman, do you want to have sex with me? I have that vibe. I have
that vibe. Question, like, or is that like hypothetical?
Can we just talk?
Did you just put that out there?
Literally, yeah. Like I'm like, I just want to take you home, you know, and then listen, you know.
You're everything they say they want.
Yeah.
But they don't.
No. Yeah. I have the vibe of, like, I'm not just your teacher. I'm your friend. You know?
Oh,
like,
God. Like
yeah, exactly. Thank you. You just encapsulated it.
That's terrible.
But I
want to be friends with them.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is great to be down in Phoenix, like, newly single, because it's like Skanktoberfest is happening every single weekend.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what soup I get into.
You're going to make a lot of new friends.
Yeah. I bet I am. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you are. And a couple of them are going to be physicians because you're going to end up needing one.
Oh.
Yeah, trust me on that. Yeah, you're gonna walk away with some scratches. Probably not here, but someplace else you're going to have a new doctor. Yeah, well, good luck with that. Are you slaying it? Are you a... Are you one of those quiet comedians? Oh, look at how silly I am, but deep down, like you're the...
Oh, I slay?
You crush?
Well, for the ladies listening, I crush it. I
believe it.
Any ladies who are listening right now, I smash. I'm all about respecting women and smashing.
It's the total package.
Yeah,
I always worry about comedians who say, oh, no, I'm the safe one, because then you end up, you know, duct taped to a passenger seat somewhere.
Well, I won't do that. I'll just, you know, I like it missionary, because I like to connect, and I just really, you know, I'm like, yeah. Do you want it missionary or a missionary?
You were raised right. That's
I really was. I was raised right. Yeah, I send a thank you card afterwards.
Something tangible. That's nice. Not just a text.
Yeah, I mean, just something they can really, you know, latch onto. It's
So how long was your relationship that is no longer? Unless you don't want to talk about it.
No, what if I just start crying?
That would be awesome. That would be great for us.
That would actually be funny.
We've had it happen.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy cried here a long time ago.
For real?
Yeah, about Jennifer Love Hewitt. They asked us not to bring it up, and I'm like, I was told not to bring up Jennifer Love Hewitt, but everybody wants to talk about what happened, and he started to cry.
Dude, now, because he's a friend of mine.
He's great.
Every single time that I see him in L.A., I'm going to be like, Jennifer Love Hewitt, man, right?
You're going to bring it up?
It hits you right there.
Or you could go, you know what? I had missionary with Jennifer Love Hewitt last night.
We connected.
It was awesome. It was really good. She said never had anybody bigger. That was what I would say. That's kind of the person I am. But you seem nicer than me.
God bless. Good seeing you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
God bless. Yeah. Could you imagine, though, like if your ex was somebody like that famous, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and like you just saw her places. Like one of my exes is Nikki Glaser. She's a good friend of mine now.
Yeah.
But I remember like we dated.
She talked about you.
Oh, she might have. I gave her. We did her podcast yesterday, and I'm famous because I gave her her first orgasm.
Is that true?
Yeah, and she was like, "What did you do to me?" And I was like, "I don't actually know. I really like."
How did you like? You don't know. Like you just were doing what you do, and it happened.
Missionary.
I mean, she liked you.
It's like any woman you hook up with. It's a guess.
Yeah.
it's a real good guess, and she'll be like, "Oh my God, you're the man!" And I'm like, "I don't know."
Same thing I've been doing.
I was just trying to read the room, you know.
It's like digging for a well.
It is
when you hit water, you don't know why, but you just did it. I just dug deep enough that day, and I don't have that problem. I'm not saying it's a deep dive.
No, yeah. I'm
you understand what I'm saying.
I'm giving you credit.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
but Nikki Glaser was maybe it was the first time she'd ever tried missionary. That's my
idea.
Yeah, that might have been a new
maybe
position.
Maybe she just
for her.
Really needed to connect. I remember
she's never looked at her partner.
Yeah, it's like my God, always face away.
Yeah, she. Well, so I was dating her, and then a woman that I actually married and divorced. It was like the
Bachelor. At the same time?
Well, it was like, you know, like that beginning gray area of a relationship where it's like maybe like 2 weeks in or whatever. I was kind of dating both of them. And then I just had to choose, and I chose poorly.
The blue pill. You went for the blue pill.
I went for the blue pill.
It's Indiana Jones.
And you should have chosen Nikki Glaser.
And Nikki's always on my case. She's like, you're such a people pleaser. Yesterday on her podcast, she was like, what's the biggest people pleasing thing that you've ever done for somebody else? And I'm like, I got married. I did something that was against my financial interests. And
completely.
I was like, yeah, I'll pay $38,000 for a wedding only have sex with one woman.
When you put it like that, God, man.
I made the decision.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah,
38 grand. You know what you could buy with 38 grand? I could buy a Corvette and a Penguin. Like I could just be rolling around picking up chicks with my Corvette and my Penguin, you know? I don't know if that's kind of random, but that's what I think.
It would turn my head.
Yeah.
Not that mid-engine one. You're not going to afford that on 38, but
no.
You get the
nice. Yeah,
you
get a used one.
Look, you could get an Accord and a Penguin, and I'm interested in your day.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like a hybrid Accord.
Oh, my God. Now
even better. Now
you're thoughtful.
We're saving the icebergs for the Penguins.
And yet still confusing me a little bit because you're driving a Penguin around the desert.
Yeah.
So do you care about the environment or not?
I don't know, but Penguin in the Desert, that sounds like a DJ Khaled
another
lyric.
Another one.
Yeah, another one. Another Penguin. But I was married, and then I'd broken up with Nikki Glaser, and like Nikki hated me. But Nikki started to get famous. She had this show on MTV called Nikki and Sarah. And I remember like riding the subway downtown to go to like a friend's dinner. And the whole subway car in New York City was just skinned with Nikki Glaser's face.
Oh.
And even my ex was like, I know this is hard for you. So I kind of get what Jamie Kennedy was talking about with having a famous ex and then seeing her all over.
Oh, it'd be
the place.
Rough. Now you're not going to rekindle with Nikki Glaser. Or
no.
Did you yesterday?
Yeah, the podcast. How did
spill
that
the
go?
Beans.
No, she doesn't want me. Like
really?
No.
You missed your opportunity.
I missed my window. And
how long ago was this?
This was like 15 years ago.
Okay.
And then when I met my now ex-girlfriend, Nikki called me up at the end of my last relationship and she was like, dude, let's bone, fly to L.A.
Yes.
So I got on a plane to L.A. I sat next to my now ex-girlfriend. Yeah. So I sat down next to her and I was like, have you ever met a woman like?
So wait, you were on your way to bone Nikki Glaser, and the girl
and
you met on the
plane.
No, hold on, you met a girl on the plane that your girlfriend.
That became my girlfriend. You know when men meet like the one, women are like, oh my God, it was the one, and I just felt it.
I knew it right there.
Yeah, I sat down and I was like, ah, crap,
the one.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna be single anymore.
Still boned though, right?
Yeah, you still nailed Nikki Glaser,
nailed
right?
It.
No,
Come on.
I flew in. Nikki picked me up from the airport, and she's like, "How was your flight?" And Nikki, one thing about her is that she's they call it a cuck.
She likes to watch. Yeah,
she likes to watch, and she gets turned on when the guys that she likes are turned on by somebody. So she was like, "How was your flight?" And I was like, "Oh man, I sat next to the hottest girl. Like she was so cool." And then I showed her her Instagram, and she's like, oh, no. She's like, this is going to be your girlfriend. She's like, we can't.
You're that powerful that people know this is your, like, you just look at a girl and she's your
girlfriend? Missionary, man.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to go with that. I am that powerful.
Yeah. My
virile testosterone and masculinity is so overpowering.
I'm always a little worried about people with adverbs for names, but you are Peatley. This is a Peatley thing to do. Yeah. This is very strange.
It does sound like
in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do like a romance novel, it'd be like, she Peatley sauntered towards the window.
Right. His oiled up chest heaved Peatley.
Yeah, so you didn't do it. But did she get to cuck you and the new girl?
No.
Oh, we
spent Christmases together. So she got to like cuck us while like opening Christmas
and watch
presents.
A Wonderful Life.
Yeah, and like her
Mormon
Nikki's mom became friends with my now ex, and like I'm still friends with my now ex. She's really great. She's awesome. She was a psychiatrist, which is not good
for comics.
To date.
No.
That I started reading self-help books just so I could win a couple fights with her.
Right.
I'm going into battle.
Yeah.
Man. Need to study.
Yeah, because every fight, like, I would just say something that's a valid point. She'd be like, you're transferring?
Yeah,
you're
she
doing
has
transference?
An
oh, no. And I'd be like, I got to look that up.
But she had, like, a good load of money, too, then. Because she's a psychiatrist, she's probably doing well.
No. She was a spender.
Oh, she's one of those.
Yeah, so she spent my money and her money, and so it was.
And you're still friends.
We're still friends.
But deep down, you don't want to be.
No, I do want to be. I definitely do want to be friends with her because she's a kind person. She's a really good person.
Sweet.
Doesn't want her to go back and reevaluate the agreement.
Yeah, I believe you can't be friends when people if. Their genitals have touched your face.
Yeah.
Because if you and I had a genital moment right now on each other's faces, our friendship would no longer be. Like, we just met. I know that's early to even ask. But to have that
tough
moment.
Connection.
It would be a tough friendship.
Yeah.
Later.
Let alone.
I just feel like that kind of makes friendship difficult.
Yeah. I mean, when you get out of a relationship, right? Like, you go like, hey, it's amicable. But like, you obviously ended the relationship. So
right.
Was it, and, you know, so like, was it amicable? And, you know, but also, I think sometimes like as the guy getting out of the relationship, you're like, you know, I just want things to be friendly.
Right.
You want everyone to be happy.
Everyone right. to be you're, happy.
It's summer wired that
and,
way. Like, okay.
Yeah. And I like, cause I'm a people pleaser and I also don't want her just to go catch a huge D right away.
Right. You want to ease her into the D.
I want to delay the huge D. That's what I want to delay.
You need to be in a safe space before you find out she's taken
exactly.
a giant Antetokounmpo.
Yeah,
I don't want
exactly.
to
I don't want it to be like it's hailing D. You know, just like, oh, what's on my eye? God. You
what
know?
About if the new guy looks just like you?
Oh, man.
Oh, hilarious.
But has a huge D.
Oh my God. Picturing me, like a me with a huge D, like oh, hey, pardon me. I just got it. Just, oh, God, I'm taking up too much space. What a burden. Oh,
this is going to pinch a little.
Yeah.
Oh. Just going to have to go ahead and go push a little harder now.
Yeah. Oofta. You're going to want to take an Advil. You really are. It's just, you know, you might want an epidural just for the, you know, for the conception.
Do you want to get married? Are you that guy that's like looking forward to that normal Midwestern lifestyle? Or are you like in the single Peatley life?
I mean, I think I want to be single, but like I'm in the beginning of single, but I'm definitely a relationship guy. Like before my last relationship, I went and I bought tampons just to keep at my apartment, just in case a girl came over and
people pleaser.
What the
people pleaser?
But okay, interesting because there's now because I would never
guess
know how
tampies.
To do that. You have tampons that can be offensive to women now.
Oh yeah,
because they're 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And I think it's based on size, but I'm told by women it's based
go
on
go with the pads.
It's based on flow.
Emergency pads.
You're right. Gross. I should have bought the pads. I just bought the multi-pack to be like, I don't know. You know?
I don't know if you're a 1 or a 5. I got them all.
I just keep a bag of mismatched socks. In case I can't find the pair. These go in the drawer for the ladies that show up.
I've got the machine in my bathroom. It's a dollar.
That's pretty smart.
Make good money on it.
Yeah. Did you really buy tampons?
I did, I remember the cashier, she was like, oh, are these for your girlfriend? And I was like, I hope so. I really, you know, I haven't met her yet, but I hope so.
That's a hope chest.
Pre-planning.
Yeah, I really, but it's weird though, because like I want to stay single, but I have this theory that like, you know, like most sexualities are accepted right now. Sure. You know, like, you know, it's Pride Month. If you're in that community, it's really great. People accept you. That's really awesome. If you're straight, that's cool. But if you're single, nobody accepts you, right? Like, like imagine just talking
to pariah.
A group. Yeah. Imagine talking to a group of women and being like, you know what I want to do? I want to just have sex and be single. They'll be like, go to hell.
Right.
Like, you're like, you are evil. You are like, not in my neighborhood. You know, like it really is.
And I don't want you hanging around with him.
Yeah.
But I have tampons.
Yeah, I mean, you're like a prepper. Too. You're a Poon's Day prepper.
It's, you're kind of like a poor man's Derek Jeter. Everybody gets a gift basket on the way out, and some of it's just hygiene.
Oh, my God. I need to do that. Yeah.
Just a hygiene gift basket.
Yeah, they'll know if it's an old gift bag because there's a mask in there now. I can sanitize
it. Forgot to pull that.
There's a mask and a DVD. These are older.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
You've got Shallow Hal, a mask.
You can play to the crowd, too. Older crowd, you know, 8-track. Just go stuff it there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need tampons anymore. What are you doing with that?
Yeah. You got to pull that.
Now you're
just like
confusing.
The mask.
Yeah. If I hook up with a
sorry,
MILF,
that's my
I can
senior
be like,
pack.
Yeah, I can be like, here's some Citracel fiber. some
Metamucil.
You have kids? Do you want kids?
I don't have kids, but...
It's okay to say you don't want them, too.
I don't think that I want them.
Good
but,
for you.
That's
but,
right.
Like, think about it. Like I'm talking about coming into Phoenix, you know, totally smashing.
Right.
Look at my personality. Yeah. Like, all of me is just like, I want to be a dad.
Yeah, you do scream, I'm your dad. I'm taking you to baseball practice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Phoenix, will you help me be a dad? Like, could you imagine me in bed? I'd be like, you're doing great. Like, I made you some orange slices. Like, it would just be like a soccer match.
In the back of the minivan.
You are sort of a soccer dad.
I am totally a soccer dad. I'm built to be a dad. I'm glad that I'm not because, you know, like I have free time and I can be a comic and
it's
all
it's the best
stuff,
not having kids.
Yeah. Do you guys have kids?
He has
I
one.
No.
You have, no. You have a
he's
kid?
Wildly no, against
absolutely
it.
No.
Loudly.
Yeah. No. 100% no.
No.
And we're thankful.
We high five every day when
every
we hear
day
these
we hear
nightmare stories. Yep.
Yeah. It's great. It's just great not having them.
I don't hear the nightmare stories from me though.
But you, because
no,
you
no,
love,
of course no.
You love your you love your child, right?
Yes.
No
yes,
one would answer
absolutely.
That the other way.
Yeah,
that's a question no one would ever go. No, actually, I don't.
Honestly, like
they should, but they don't.
I've noticed that with my friends that have kids, one it's like you know how bowling, like 1 to 3 beers, you're great, and then after 3 beers, you start to get worse. Right. Like my friends, I'll be like, "Do you love your kids?" And then after 3 beers, like 3 beers, they're like, they're a gift. You know, I don't know what I'd do without them. You should do it. And then after 3 beers, they're like, it's a nightmare. It's hell on earth. It's like imagine that the devil looks like you, you know? Like, that's what...
It's similar to you feeling like a people pleaser.
Yeah.
I beat up myself more for like, I could be a better dad. I think I could be better. I'm not good enough. And
that's
you
true.
You try to outdo it or do it better every day.
Not me.
Problems I'll never have.
High five.
Right
here we
there.
Go.
We don't have those kind of insecurities with the little kids. We just have them with grown-up women.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
I could be better at everything, but I'm not. But oh, well. At least it's not with some jackass 12-year-old making me feel insecure.
But that is the people-pleasing little factor that has to go
in. And you
got to
start buying tampons at your house, too. Not for somebody that's...
I'm prepping.
He's got his daughter's close.
Oh,
12.
Wow.
You went in on the bet? We're betting on what day it happens.
Oh, God. Oh.
We've been at it for a year. The kid won't pop.
You guys are sick. That is the funniest.
We missed the first year, and we called it the Tomato Pants Countdown, but nothing's happened.
Oh, my God.
Donnell Rawlings, his date passed up.
Donnell Rawlings was in on it. His date's over. We went 1 year, and it's like she didn't have it. So
okay.
Wait.
First of all, I like that that's the symbolism of the red in your
logo.
The
big red U, yeah. It looks like a teardrop. Yep.
We're really getting – all right, I'm going to get in on this. We're just guys being guys.
That's right. That's right. Smashing Pete Lee.
Smashing Pete Lee. So it's already been a year. We're I don't even want to ask the age because that's creepy.
I said it. That's
7.
Right. It was 12.
Oh, I mean – oh, sorry.
12.
Yeah. But she looks 7. She's kept her 7-year-old figure. She's aging well.
This is a totally a judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
I've never in my life heard a guy go, but she looks
seven.
Yeah,
she looks seven, bro. She's keeping it together,
which
bro.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Dude, she really works on her size. It's crazy.
It's weird to think she's in second
oh,
grade.
Oh, my God. Wait, are those flyers on the wall for those bands new yeah. or old?
New.
They're new. All right, yeah. I'm going October 15th. The date
for the date Skillet.
The date that Skillet runs into town.
Skillet's rolling in. You want to come back? Well, we'll get you tickets.
Yeah, I would love that.
Do you want in on that? Well, that's the
that's
date
his date for
that's your
tomato
date for
pants.
Kirby. Yeah, we'll give you October 15th. You'll get tickets for Skillet if you'd called the Tomato Pants.
Okay, perfect.
Put Pete Lee down for October 15th, 2021.
I can definitely come down. I mean, I live in L.A. It's a short drive, short flight.
Perfect.
I will
it's
come
an
down
hour.
And
and, yeah, and claim your prize.
And we can have a moon party. I'm so sorry.
It makes people uncomfortable. I'm so over it. It's fun. I know he's uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
But it's what you have to deal with. Why is it so uncomfortable? It's such a natural thing. Like we have to deal with it, but yet it's like this weird.
No,
thing
and there are people that celebrate it.
Yeah, there's people that have like parties and stuff. But I think that's gross. That nobody should celebrate it. It's nothing to be proud of. But it is a thing that happens all the time. It's like boogers. We all have them, but we try to keep it quiet.
It's part of the life cycle, and I can't – like when my buddy – like I have a friend, Dave, that like if you mention that to him, he'll be like, oh, dude, no.
Yeah,
come on.
Don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's blood, which we all have, and then it's you know, a hoo-ha, which like I like.
Those are great.
Those are great, and so I just don't understand how –
Well, it's the same though. I like my eyes. I don't like them covered in blood.
Yeah.
So, both necessary, but I never the two shall. I'm not a big fan of
keep the blood out of the eyes.
Because I've got blood doesn't mean I want to know all the good parts.
That's the best analogy
yeah,
I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Well,
I'm trying to help you out with periods.
And you said it to me with your kind eyes. Like, he really does have kind eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
don't let him fool
he's
you.
He's saying some terrible things right now, but he's got very
it's
kind
charming,
eyes.
It's charming, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be the devil, and it's the devil has the blue eyes.
I would.
Deceiving. Very deceiving.
Yeah. I would buy insurance from you.
And I sell it on the side, so look out, because you're going to get some of that. I saw something about you. I saw last week that you were coming, and I'm like, I'm not overly familiar. I've seen you on Fallon. You're there all the time.
Yeah.
And then I've seen you, and you said something on Jimmy Fallon once, and I remembered it because I'm like, because it stuck with me. You wrote for Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, I wrote for Duck Dynasty their last season.
It's a reality show.
I know, but it was like scripted reality. And, all
they
those guys are
some new premises.
There's a writer's room?
There is a writer's room, and you pre-wrote a lot of stuff. And so basically, like, you know, you'd be like – like we would basically be in the room and they would be – you would give each person like a direction for the scene. So like imagine we had to do a scene and we're like, okay, you know, Willie has to transport these goats, or we got to transport these goats in Willie's car, right? And but Willie's got like a Cadillac Escalade. So we're going to put goats in the Escalade. And then we just – like Uncle Cy just did that. And then now Willie's going to come in and confront him. So it's like it's reality, and it really did just happen. And the goat's just crapped in his Escalade, but we got to film the scene. So I'll be like, Uncle Cy, here's three lines that are going to be really funny.
So you're just punching up reality.
Yeah, about goat turds in the Escalade.
What's a great goat turd joke that
honestly,
came to mind?
I don't remember,
quick if you're nailing those goat turds.
I mean, and you're writing goat turd jokes. So you're waking up going like, I really gotta get these goat turd jokes going because we're gonna do this scene, and so it's like it is improvised and it is real, but you're just helping them out.
Are the scenario because I know it's all TV, so but are the scenarios, you know, manufactured, or are they doing something like, okay, everybody stop
a little,
let's redo this way?
I think probably. I mean, it's got to be that way with a lot of the reality shows after two seasons into it.
But I mean, how much of it is brought into them going, here's your scene today, now improvise this?
The first season, it's mostly like if they're taping a full season of a reality show, they're like, so what are you guys into? What are you guys like? All right, you're going fishing. We're going to go fishing. Oh, God, there's a hole in the boat. You know, like those.
But do you drill the hole in the boat and not tell them?
No.
See, that's what I would do.
You legit, like the first season of a reality show, it's like less scripted. Then the second one, they're out of stuff. Like they've done all the stuff. They've told all the stories. So you're like, hey, well, what if Willie's daughter was getting her
tomato pants?
Her tomato pants. And you guys, as a group, as men, you got to go buy the tampons, and you got to figure this
out. We'll make decoy tampons. Right.
Yeah, and literally, yeah, like an Uncle Si's doing duck calls with it in the store, and walking around and doing crazy stuff.
The show would be huge.
Yeah,
duck
you're
call
just
tampon.
So you're coming up with just weird stuff that they can
How
do.
How do you get that job? Like, is that something your agent calls and says, I got you a chance to – that's just strange.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser was
Nikki
an original.
Nikki Glaser got she's actually Uncle Si with a beard.
Is that right? She's talented.
When she doesn't
wax, you married the wrong one.
Yeah, that's what happens. No, one of my good buddies, Josh Wade, was the executive producer of the show, and he called me up, and he's like, what are you doing? I was like – literally nothing. And he's like, do you want to come down to Louisiana? And I was like, you're damn right I do. So we're in Monroe, Louisiana, filming it. And I also did a spinoff show called Going Cyril because Si had never seen the internet before. And we realized that. And we're like, what better way to do a clip show than with a guy that's never seen the internet? So we could show this guy all the clips that everybody's seen, and then people could just – witness him,
his reaction,
experience.
We've all experienced it already.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I mean, these characters were also just like they're all so funny, and like they're, you know, I know that people got mad at them because of political beliefs or whatever, but like also, what do you think they're going to be into?
Right. They're going to have Confederate flags all over the place.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're from there.
I have all these like hipster friends that are like into like savoring bourbons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you think that the bourbon brewmaster in the hills of Kentucky that made that agrees with you politically?
Right. Right.
Like, do you think that he's like, oh my stars, I am woke AF. I don't even know if I can brew today because I was at a march.
That's how I came up with the flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can't align with everybody, so stop trying.
Stop trying. Yeah. Just realize that people are going to have different views than you, and that's why it was so fun to write, like to write from their point of view, because
you're thinking outside of your own head, which is the fun of writing.
Yeah, and there are also people that just embrace that point of view, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like it's so. I mean, remember Archie Bunker? How hysterical he was.
That's great.
Like
it's brilliant.
Or Al Bundy, or like any of those classic characters. It was like writing for that.
And the best part is that people don't understand that anymore. The Archie Bunker thing had two camps. My grandpa agreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was Archie Bunker, and that's why he liked him.
Yeah.
And everybody who disagreed with him knew that guy, so that's why they liked him. We don't have that gray area anymore. It's either you're tribal. It's one or the other.
Meathead, the same way.
You either
the
get it or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's so much more fun to have somebody you don't agree with talk to you.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm developing a sitcom right now with NBC. Jimmy Fallon is producing it. I'm lucky enough to do that. But like, to balance me out, who thinks of everyone's needs, there's going to have to be like an Archie Bunker character.
You're looking at him.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do it. I'm going to need a best friend that says the worst things, like the most wrong things, and I don't know how to do that.
Nobody needs to see me on TV, but if you need help with that character, I think that might be who I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to surround myself with, and then I'm gonna get canceled because my best friend character says something really wrong.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that show business people always say how hard it is to get into showbiz, and like it's work, work, work. You got a call from a guy that says you want to go to Louisiana, and you became part of Duck Dynasty.
Yeah,
it was just that easy.
And
just
I'm like,
who you know?
Hell yeah! Oh my god!
How long did you do that show?
I just did the last season,
just one,
which we knew was the last season. So I was like, oh, I can do this for. It was really like 5 to 6 weeks that I worked on.
Oh, really?
The other writers, I've had it.
Yeah, they had to get gassed after a while. I had to churn out a lot of people for that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
idea mill.
But I remember when you said it because I remember the whole conversation. You said something when I wrote for Duck Dynasty, and it stuck with me. That I'm like, I didn't think you were allowed to say that.
Yeah, well,
like, I don't think they want people to know there's writers.
Now that it's been a couple of years removed from it, I can say that I wrote for Duck Dynasty. In the credits, I was a producer.
Ah.
Because they wanted, I don't know.
You don't want to put the word writer. It's too many questions.
Yeah, well, people would watch that and go, what the,
who's writing what? Yeah, because I did it. I know that the scenarios are, but I didn't know they hired writers. I knew they had, production people that would say, okay, let's set this up.
Yeah.
But, when you see the word writer, you assume everybody's got a line.
And all those shows.
Yeah. Oh, they're all that way. Yeah.
All those shows. Yeah. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the Hills on MTV. Like, do you think that Caitlyn Carter and Brody Jenner are just getting together with their dogs in the backyard after they're divorced.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, come on.
Don't you want to write for that, though?
I would love to write for
just
that.
Just because he said, Brody, I think it would be great if you just whispered the word bitch under your breath after every sentence.
Yeah. And Caitlin,
so have you been,
when he says bitch, could you actually whisper to him, like, I have the same name as your dad? Like, how about that?
Every line. I would watch that show all day. Listen to what she says after everything she says to him. I have your dad's name.
I have the same.
I am kind of your father.
I have the same name as your dad.
Genitals.
I got to meet Caitlyn Jenner once. I did warm up for the roast of Alec Baldwin. And like everyone on the dais was so cool. Blake Griffin was awesome. Robert De Niro was so cool. Sean Hayes was great. My friend Nikki Glaser was on it. And then like I'm backstage, you know, like still cooling off from the sweat of warm up. And Caitlyn Jenner lumbers by. And I mean, Caitlyn Jenner is a gigantic human being.
Yeah.
Person.
She's a big man.
She is a. I mean, and like in heels too, like 5-inch heels plus being an Olympic gold medal.
6'5", 6'6", maybe
like 6'3", probably. I'm thinking.
And I would, of
but
course,
in the heels, 6'7".
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Of course, I said something nice. I was like, hey, Caitlyn, you're great. And Caitlyn just goes, hurr.
Well, maybe she was experiencing her first tomato pants.
Maybe
I'm not sure they put that in or not.
Maybe she did. I don't know. It sounded like have you ever like you know when a semi slows down and
yeah,
it goes like, that was the noise that came out of Caitlyn Jenner, and I was like,
she attractive in person?
God, no.
I don't know.
Nobody becomes a woman when they're 60 and you're like, you know, wait, am I
good
into
move.
That? Like, am I into that? Like, and I don't, you know, I'm an ally of that community.
Yeah.
But
doesn't mean you got to be attracted to it.
Yeah. Let's call a duck a duck. All right. Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner isn't my type as a woman. You know,
I always say, not my cup of tea.
I would do it.
Now,
I would do it for the stories.
Yeah.
And I'd make her wear the medals. And I would finish on the medals.
Just so they're swinging and hitting you in the chin and stuff.
I'd do a thing like where I'd point to the sky and go, that's for you, Bruce. Because I think he's gone. I don't know what happened.
We came close to that happening.
Yeah. And we tried because, we got set up for a golf foursome with him. And I'm like, these charming eyes, I'm going to charm Caitlin's giant panties right off.
My God, Caitlin.
All I wanted to be is a hot tub with her. That was my whole goal. But we ended up having to cancel the golf outing.
Oh, because of COVID?
I don't remember what it was. Oh, no,
she
had a charity.
Ended up having to go up to San Francisco.
Yeah, she had to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But I would have liked to heard that.
Yeah.
After every swing.
In the throes of passion.
That's what would have been her closing noise, her finishing noise.
That's how you know you got it done. Is that what Nikki Glaser did?
Yeah, she did. It was, oh, my God. Yeah, I hit it so hard at the end there was a poof of smoke and I was like, did you just hit your vape? Like that's what it was.
You want to pick up the retread that just fell out?
Yeah.
Pete Lee is at CB Live at Desert Ridge tonight all the way through Sunday. Have you been to Phoenix? I don't think you've ever. We've been here for 20 years. You've never been on the show.
Thank you for having me on, by the way. I actually taped my Showtime special that comes out July 9th at the Tempe Improv.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we taped it on February 25th in the pandemic.
Tall, Dark, and Pleasant.
Tall, Dark, and Pleasant.
Yeah, great name.
So by the way, I'm originally from Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin fans come out here to the comedy clubs to see me like it's a Badgers bowl game.
Cheeseheads on.
It's really crazy. Like there's like if you come to my show tonight at CB Live and you see people drinking in the parking lot, they're coming to my show.
Yeah. They're
like
tailgating
on the
way in.
A couple Miller Lights in our system so that the drinks aren't.
You got to bring out Bucky every now and then.
Yeah, bring out Bucky.
Oh God, don't do it. Don't make it a college nightmare.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. And you're probably just do you know Caliendo? Frank Caliendo's from Wisconsin as well.
Oh my
he lives
God.
Here.
Now here's a guy.
Yeah.
I came up with him in comedy. Like we started like 1 year apart from
each other.
Frank was one of those guys that like as a friend, you're so happy for his success. But as a guy that you started at the same exact time as him and then just saw him blow up after 2 years in the business, I was like, screw you,
I asked
Frank.
Him the other day. Because I've done a podcast with Frank for a while now. Nobody's known about it forever. So, and my internet password is Frank Caliendo is difficult. So that's just because he's just, and he knows it. So I give him heat all the time. But we're talking, and I said, who was like the, did you have a mentor? We went to a Suns game. I'm like, did you have a mentor in comedy? Like, who was it? And he goes, no. He goes, I mean, I admired people. I'm like, yeah, but somebody took you under their wing. He goes, I never opened for anybody. I'm like, you're such a dick. Just answer the question with a lie then. Say, oh, no, there was a guy that took me under. He just started. He's an opener from jump.
I was in, I think, his second headlining week. I opened for him, and then I asked him a similar question. He's like, yeah, they just put me right into headlining. And I hadn't seen his act. I hadn't seen what he did.
Yeah.
I just knew that he was a little nervous and fidgety backstage because he was so new to headlining. And I went on and, like, smoked it.
Yeah.
And then there's that moment in the green room where you're like, yeah, follow that.
Yeah.
And then he was like,
good luck on that.
Now, here's a guy that doesn't know his
shirt's guy's
on
name's
backwards.
An adverb.
Yeah.
I thought you walked by him and go, Frank, how was that? And he just went,
I make Frank very nervous with my Caitlyn Jenner talk. I like it. It's a Wisconsin thing, I think.
It's a Wisconsin thing. And by the way, we chose our words very carefully. And,
we did.
And we're supportive of her.
Completely.
And,
but it doesn't mean I have to have sex with you.
No.
Or want to.
Exactly.
Or even find you attractive.
Yes.
I like you.
I like you, too.
We don't want to have sex together.
I don't. No.
Oh, shoot. No, I tried to lay the foundation and got rebuffed.
Broke his heart.
Pete Lee at CB Live at Desert Ridge all weekend long. If you want to go, CBLive.com. Pete, leave us with words of wisdom, please.
Words of wisdom. If you come out tonight, bring me condoms.
That's right. You've got HIV.
Because I'm going to need them. No, I literally got tested and I'm clean, but apparently Arizona isn't. I've heard that this is like literally the bacteria that's around here.
You've heard this?
Like, it's just like this is why you guys have been open during the pandemic. Yeah. Like your chlamydia has been chasing away
us.
The COVID.
Yeah. Is that the rumor in the world of comedy is that this is the chlamydia capital?
I've heard that.
Because the girls are beautiful, but. They're
horse.
Yeah, that's the problem we're having, right? Is what you're saying. Pete Lee is saying, Arizona, you look gorgeous, but you're horse.
Phoenix is actually a Native American word that means slut station. Slut station where you hitch your horse to it.
That's right.
And I'm sorry to that community if I said
to the natives?
Yeah, to
all of them.
I am native. That's why I have dark features.
That's right.
But I still don't feel like I can say that.
You're 10% Cherokee.
I'm literally like 12% Cherokee.
Is that true?
Yeah,
that's the cheekbones.
It's the cheekbones.
That's what I always tell girls. They say, I'm 10% Cherokee. I'm like, I see it in your cheekbones. And they get impressed by it.
And they're like, really?
No. 10% of you. I'd never identify that at all. Well, congratulations, Pete. Always a pleasure, or will always be a pleasure. Hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. Please have me back.
It's Pete Lee, everybody.
Back.
It's 98 KUPD.
If the younger generation doesn't get into rock, then guess what? An art form has died.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Eric's Family BBQ.com.